friends. This is Pastor Bill Clark. Welcome to the podcast. Hello, friends are the first two words I begin each message that I get the privilege to share each Sunday. I get to tell my friends about the greatest friend, Jesus Christ. I also consider friends to be one of the greatest gifts a person can have in this earthly life. Most of the episodes will be messages I share each Sunday, but from time to time, I'll invite a friend to share some of their life with us over a beverage. I pray these episodes bless you and help you on this journey of life. God's blessings to you, friend. This is a message I shared at Timothy Lutheran Church on December 25th, Christmas Day, from one of my favorite chapters of the Bible, John chapter 1.
Good morning again, friends. John writes today, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning, do you remember what God made first? What does it say in Genesis chapter 1? "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.'" Let there be light. There is no life without light. So for God to transform this formless dark void into a vital, active, magnificent world teeming with light, the first thing necessary was light. No light, and there's no life. Just as it is for the world in general, so it is also for us who have faith in God. No light, no life. As in the beginning of the world was in darkness, we also are not born in light. We are born in darkness. I'm referring, of course, to spiritual darkness, to sin. We are not born knowing God and able to love Him. We are not born with the ability to obey Him, to serve Him, or even properly search for Him. We are born in the darkness of sin. The prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 59, "We hope for light and behold darkness, and for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noon as it was twilight among those in full vigor. We are like dead men. We hope for salvation, but it is far from us, for our transgressions have multiplied before you, and our sins testify against you, for our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities." See, we're no different than those in Isaiah's day. We are born alienated from God, unable to please Him, separated from Him by our sins, searching blindly our way through life without direction or without hope, unless the light shines on us. And this darkness into which we are born is total darkness. It's not dusk. This darkness is not twilight. There is no moon shining. It's not just that it's difficult to make our way to God and to gain His favor, but because of our sinful condition, it is impossible. It is impossible unless the light shines on us. But that's the celebration of Christmas. Your light has come. Your light has come and the light has shined on us. Isaiah predicted it. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the deep darkness, on them the light shone. Isaiah predicted it and John described it. In our gospel for this Christmas day, he writes, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Some 2,700 years ago, Isaiah predicted it. 2,000 years ago, John described it. And today, we still celebrate it. The light of the world has come, and he has come to us. The Son of God became one of us, born of the Virgin Mary. This little baby, Jesus, born on Christmas Day, is the light of the world. Jesus said it himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What does this mean for us? How does the light shine on us? What happens when this light shines? The answer to this question comes in the climax of our text from John today, where he writes, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Yes, the light came when the eternal Son of God became flesh. This little baby in the arms of Mary is God. God the Son, God of God, light of light. Imagine the wonder of the shepherds that they must have felt when they went to that stable in Bethlehem to view this little baby. The angel had told them that the one who had been born was the Lord. How they must have marveled to see the Creator lying in a manger. But the text says more for us this morning. He didn't come just to be born, John says. He came to live among us, as one of us. And he did it for 33 years. And the text still says more for us this morning. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father. And now we begin to approach the answer to our question about what it means that Jesus is the light of the world. John says that he and other disciples have seen his glory. And they did. They have seen his glory. They know what it is. They have seen it. And what is it? John tells us. It's full of grace and truth. That's the glory of Jesus. This is the glory John and other disciples have seen. He is full of grace and truth. He is full of truth. But on this side of eternity, we know we've been lied to, right? Because everybody knows they've been lied to. Even in ways that hurt you. But Jesus says, "I am the truth." And we've all been misled by the salesman. We've been deceived by a friend. But Jesus tells us he is the truth. Even before his birth, misunderstandings are being cleared up. The angel appears to Mary and tells her she will have a child. And she wonders, how can this be since I am still a virgin? But the angel, you notice, doesn't scold her for wondering, but simply tells her the truth. The Holy Spirit has come upon you, Mary. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And again, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream and informs him that the child of Mary has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. There is to be no confusion about the conception or the birth of this child. Joseph must know the truth. You ever notice this? That no one in the Scriptures has ever lied about this child. Ever. The shepherds are told the truth about this child that they were to see. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. Even King Herod is told the truth by the wise men about the child they're going to see. He is the king of the Jews. Next week, Simeon speaks the truth about the child in his arms because he is the Savior, the glory of Israel. When he who is the light of the world appears, falsehood and deceptions are exposed and the truth is revealed. Now, this might be a little bit before my day, but I still refer to the King James Version, the version of the Bible, now and again. So I know some of you folks that are just a little bit older than me remember using the King James Version, right? And remember in the Gospels where Jesus would say, "Verily, verily I say unto thee." What does "verily" mean? "Truly, truly I say to you." Do you know this? That Jesus uses that expression 8 times in the Gospel of Luke, 14 times in the Gospel of Mark, 27 times in the Gospel of Matthew, and in the Gospel of John, Jesus doubles truly. Not just saying, verily I say unto thee, but he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Truly, truly, I say to you. This double truly, Jesus speaks it 24 times in the Gospel of John. 24 times. Jesus wants you to know that he speaks the truth. He is the truth. When the light of the world comes, everything is revealed for what it truly is. Wickedness and sins are exposed. Nothing is hidden from him. You know, people may sing about old Saint Nick, right? He knows when you've been sleeping, which my grandkids weren't when we got home at 1 o'clock this morning, right? He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. You see, children wonder, how does Santa know all these things? But we know that Jesus does. God sees each one of us. God knows each one of us. God will never leave us or forsake us. When the light comes into the world, everything is revealed to him. False teachings and false prophets are exposed. False religions are revealed for what they are. And the truth is revealed. The truth that saves. And what is the truth that saves? What does our text say? We have seen the glory. The glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The truth that saves is the message of his grace. The one who lies in the manger is the Savior because he brings grace. As Jesus says later in the Gospel of John, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This baby whose birth we celebrate today is born to save, to bring forgiveness for sin, to wash away all guilt, to cover the shame and embarrassment of wrongdoing, and to bestow innocence and holiness on all who believe in him. This message we can't forget as we celebrate Christmas, because we do not just celebrate the birth of the Son of God. We also celebrate what he came to do. Because Jesus wasn't born simply to be born, to show solidarity, humanity. He was born to accomplish something. That's why Satan sent Herod after the little baby, not just because of who he was, but to prevent him from accomplishing what he came to do. The Word, Jesus, he came to be our substitute. He came to be what we were supposed to be and were not, but he was. He came to do what we were supposed to do and did not, but he did. He kept God's law perfectly, and he also came to suffer what we should have suffered. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. His suffering and death have atoned for all that was wrong about you and me. And through faith in him, we now stand righteous and innocent in the eyes of the Father. So celebrate today the birth of this child, but also celebrate his life and his death and his resurrection. Celebrate both who he is and what he came to do. For then you will celebrate the birth of the one who is full of grace and truth, and you will celebrate your own salvation and your own everlasting crown. Then you will properly celebrate what John describes in the gospel, the coming of true light, who came that you might become the children of God. As you know, I've been here, this is my third Christmas already here. Seems like it's gone just like that, right? But if you know, you come during my office during the week, I usually got music on. Now during Christmas time, yes, I listen to Christmas music, but I don't do it until after Thanksgiving, all right? It's always been a joke with my kids. I like my favorites, right? Bing Crosby, Burl Ives, Johnny Mathis. Other times I just turn on the radio, listen to whatever's on the radio. Every once in a while, a song will come on, and I was like, I've heard that before, but it immediately stops you, right? You start listening to it. It's called How Many Kings by Down Here. This is the chorus. How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that was torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Only one. Only one did that for me. Yes, he is the external word. He is the eternal Son of God, made flesh for us in order that by grace, that his grace might shine upon us. For he is the light of the world, born this Christmas day, the light who shines grace, a grace that pours out God's forgiveness on us, a grace that surrounds us with his love, a grace that crowns us with honor and glory, a true unconditional grace that opens for us an eternal life of joy. How many fathers gave up their sons for you? Only one. Only one did that for you. Your light has come, John writes, and the darkness will never, never overcome it. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to the podcast. If you have any questions about anything that we share in our messages, any questions on faith, any just general questions, get a hold of me. I'd love to have a conversation. Thank you again for listening. Have a great day. God bless.